Tonight we're going to deal with the Manishtana. The Manishtana is probably viewed as one of the highlights of the Seder. And I would want to get into it to show how that's really not so simple. Or even if it's the highlight of the Seder, perhaps it has a different meaning altogether from the way we understand it to be. And I think there are also certain fundamental points of the Seder that we just miss. I don't know if we miss out on it, but that are highlighted by going over the sources here, as we go through the sources. So, let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Psachim. It says, Umazgulo kos sheni, which is essentially that you pour the second cup, right? After you have Kaddish, which is the first cup of wine, then you have Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. By Magid, you pour the second cup. V'kan haben shoel aviv. And here the son asks the father. Vim ein das beben aviv melamdo. And if the son does not have das, if he doesn't know what to ask, then the father teaches him. Period. I think it's a period. The father teaches him. Doesn't say, the Mishnah, you could have two questions. I have two questions here, just on the Mishnah. What is the child asking? And what is the father teaching him? Right? It says, here the son asks.
Why are you choosing to put a period there?
Okay, it's open. It's open whether you put a period there.
Because you could read it one of two ways. You could either say, vim in das, if the child doesn't have das, vim in das ben ovim melamdu, then the father has to teach him the story even without him asking.
Okay.
Or you could say that the father has to
teach him the Manishtana. The Manishtana. Right? There are two ways. I agree. There are two ways to read the Mishnah. There are two ways to read the Mishnah. I didn't quote the entire Mishnah, so it's possible that... It could be that the father teaches him not just the answer...
Which part did you leave out? The beginning or the end?
The end of it, afterwards. It might not be that he teaches him the answer, but it could be also that he teaches him to ask. It's also possible that he pushes him to ask the question if he doesn't have knowledge. So what, just before we get to that part, just in the first part, V'kan haben shoel aviv. Here the son asks a question to his father after you pour the second cup. So what question is the son asking? What question is he asking? Does it mention any particular question?
Whatever
pops into mind, right? So, it could be that he's asking the Manishtana, although the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah does not say that the son asks the Manishtana, it just says that the son asks. Why would the son ask specifically a question over here? Over here, what are you doing? You're pouring the second cup. So what question would the son have if you're pouring the second cup here?
Why are you pouring the second cup?
Huh? What do we... Sometimes we have two, but sometimes we do drink two cups of wine.
You're going to say a bracha again.
Okay, you say, well...
But you wouldn't know drinking.
What?
Why are we pouring it?
We're not drinking. We're not drinking. We're pouring and not drinking it. Okay. Right by the pouring, we already asked the question. And also, I think part of this is the fact that you're pouring it, usually if you have wine and you have kiddush, so then you have your meal. And during the meal, if you want to have more wine, then you'll have more wine during the meal. Why is this happening? There's no meal here. It's before the meal.
And you've already made kiddush.
And now you're pouring the cup, you're not drinking it yet. There's a lot of questions you could ask. So v'kana ben shoel, I would assume...
There were other things before that, weren't there?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff before.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff, yeah.
And a whole bunch of other stuff that happened before it that are
is also
there in order...
So that they ask. So it was also for them to ask. Yeah. So v'kana ben shoel, when the child's asking his question... the simple explanation would be that the kind of Ben Shoel, he asks a question, because we're trying to trigger a question for him to ask. It's not necessarily the four questions of the night, of the Manishtana, it's just for him to ask any question about why are you doing this tonight. Nowhere does it say, and it doesn't say that he has to specifically ask the Manishtana. So he asks his question, Ein das beben of melamdo. And if the child does not have knowledge to ask, he's not picking up on the clues to ask a question, so then the father teaches him. So either the father teaches him and gives him the answer, which is what Rabbi Lichtman said, like ignore the question, let's get straight down to the answer. Although I think it's a little difficult from the part that I skipped. that I left out in the end. Or he's teaching him...
what does the end say?
It repeats afterwards of Malamdo based on the Das of the Sun and Masal Begnosim Sain Bishvach. It goes through the answers. It repeats that line. So it would seem to be that that line is saying that he teaches him.
See, I would have read the Mishnah like a distributive math equation. But I would have said, Mazgul Kosheni, that you put a second thought, the kind of control of it. And now the son asks the father. And if the son doesn't know how to ask, the father teaches him how to ask. And what is it that they ask? Manishtana Allah Semikola Lilos. The Manishtana is going on. This is what the son asks, or if he doesn't know
it. Okay,
to ask.
That's also plausible. That's also plausible. I'm not rejecting.
Otherwise, what are you doing with the Manishtana then? Because it's just the son asks whatever.
So it could be that the father teaches him, it's a run-on sentence. What does the father teach him? It's not that he teaches him the answer, but he teaches him the Manishtana.
So
it could be that he...
So doesn't that make sense then that that's the question that the son should be...
No, I don't know if that's true.
Why would you be teaching the son a question that he's not supposed to be asking?
No, who said...
Who said
the son has to ask a question. The son has to ask any question that he wants to ask about how tonight's different. As a backup, you can read the Mishnah to say, as a backup, if he's not picking up on asking questions, so then we're going to teach him... through questions. We want the whole night to be question-answer. It should be something about question-answers. So the father will teach him the Manishtana. Basically, he'll teach him the questions of Manishtana. Ask the following.
Why are those specific questions? This is the questions. Our questions are worth asking. So those are the questions that we want the other son to ask.
I don't know. We'll come up with four questions to ask. I don't know if the son has to specifically ask those four questions. It doesn't necessarily have to be those four questions. You can ask any question.
I've heard it interpreted that Manishtana can be understood as, rather than a question, a kind of an exclamation.
Okay, we'll get to it. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. You're ruining
the
climax here. thank you for ruining everything. I'm kidding. Yeah, but that we'll get to that at some point. I think that's the opinion.
I say that only because one possibility is that he's not teaching him questions.
He's teaching him answers.
Yeah.
Or statements. Yeah, we'll get to that. I think that's the opinion of the Rambam. I think the Rambam was going to say it like that. We'll get there. So my point is that the Mishnah is pretty unclear in terms of what the son has to ask. According to the way I just read it, the son has to ask any question. If he doesn't know what to ask, so then the father teaches him the Manishtana. So who plays the role of saying the Manishtana?
The father,
right? We never. If it's based on my reading, the son would never be the one that asks the four questions.
Yeah.
He would ask his own question. If he doesn't know how to ask, so then the father would say the Manishtana. But the custom that we have of the child saying the Manishtana, that wouldn't fit with the read that I have.
Yeah.
With the read that I have. Fine. So my point in reading this Mishnah is just to show how it's not really clear. What the child is asking, and also how, if he doesn't have das, if he doesn't have knowledge, how the father is responding. Let's move on to the second source. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Chacham b'no sho'alo. If the child is wise, then he asks. V'meino chacham, and if he's not wise, ishto sho'alto. So then his wife should ask. V'im lav, and...
But not the child's wife, but the father's.
Yeah, your wife should ask. Vimlav, who shall latzmo? And
if you're sitting at the table with your wife and she's not wise, you should not be doing this Gemara. You should not be saying over this Gemara.
Well, if she's not wise, then she won't pick up on it anyways.
Well, I mean, don't say the Gemara that if my wife is not wise, then I should do the asking. So I'll do the asking. Don't say that.
Don't say that, right. Vimlav, so then Hushol Atzmo. I wasn't sure if Vimlav was that his wife doesn't understand or if he doesn't have a wife. It could be Vimlav means that he doesn't have a wife. Vimlav Hushol Atzmo. They asked to each other. So, I want to point out, what are they asking each other? Who's asking? What are they asking? Does it say anywhere in this Braisa that they ask the four questions? There's no mention of the four questions here.
But the Gemara is going on a mission which mentioned the four questions.
It did, but again, you're right. But so you have to know where the four questions are going on within the Mishnah. So, but
I
it's
think it, it's not. You can't bring a proof from here.
I'm not bringing a proof from here that they're not asking the four questions. I'm just saying that even from the you can't bring any proof from this braisa from learning from here. So it's still unclear exactly as to what's going on in terms of the Manishana. So now we'll move on to the next source and it'll, things will start to become clearer. This is now a Gemara, which is really, in terms of the order of the pages, it's the previous page of the page that we've been going through. We've been going through Kuftez Zayin Amud Aleph. This is on 115b, Kuftez Vav and Beis, so it's the previous page. And the Gemara says as follows. Lama Okrin Es HaShulchan. They used to have like small tables by each, right? We discussed this by Haseba. Right. They would have small tables by each seat. So they used to remove the tables themselves by prior to Magid. Prior to the telling of the story, they would remove the entire table. Nowadays, what do we do instead of, we take away the Seder plate. Either some people have the custom of covering the Seder plate, they're taking away the Seder plate. That is really to symbolize the fact that it's as if we're taking away the entire table. That's to symbolize that, like, we're removing the entire table. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara asks, why do we do this? Why do we remove the entire table? Everyone moves their tables. So, Amri Debe Rabbi Yanai, Kadeshi Akiratino Kosvishalu. This is also for the children to ask, just like we pour the cup of wine way before we're going to drink it. And
when is this that we're removing?
Before Magid.
You remove the Seder plate?
You cover it or you move
the Seder plate. Yeah. In the Haggadah, it tells you, like, at this point. It's in the fine print.
We never read that.
Just for a little clarity. The Gemara says, why do you remove it? And you remove it so that the children should ask. So now my child is going to ask and say, hey, how come you covered the Seder plate? And the answer is,
for you to
should ask.
Yes.
I don't really have a good answer to
it. Yes.
For you to recognize that different things are going on here. That's the reason. It's just to get the child. It's to get the child interested. It's the equivalent of, you know, throwing a candy at him to when he asks a good question or something.
Wake him up.
To wake him up. It's to get them interested. To get them involved. That's really what it's all about. We remove it so that we do strange things just for them to realize that, you know, pay attention. Well, something different is going on here.
Why would we choose these specific things to do? Mm. Like, we don't say come in with wearing a costume or a clown nose.
Okay, so maybe it could be that there's a deeper reason behind that, but the basic reason is just for them to ask. There might be a specific reason as to why these as opposed to others. Okay, that I don't know the answer to that. But the basic level is just to get them to be interested and to ask. So now it comes a very interesting story. So now we have the following story. Abaye Havi Yosef Kamei de Rava. Abaye was sitting in front of Rava. And Chaza Tukam Medali Takam Mikame. And he noticed that they removed the table. They're removing the tables. So Abaye says to him, Amaluhu Adayan Lukach Linon Asukam Akri Takam Mikaman. Now that you're removing the table. Now we didn't eat yet, and now you're moving the table? Why are you moving the table? We still have to eat. What are you doing? And what does Rabba say back? Amar le Rabba, patarton milomer manishtana. You have exempted us from saying manishtana. So what did Abaye say? Did Abaye say the manishtana? Did he ask any of the four questions? He did not ask a single one of the four questions. All he asked was why you're removing the table. Rabba says back, okay, we can skip that part of the Agada. We don't have to ask the four questions. Right? That's what Rabba says back. So the simple understanding of this Gemara is that you do not have to say the Manishtana. If the child were to ask a different question, then you don't have to say the Manishtana. Right? So if that's a simple explanation, so then how would you read the Mishnah? Just going back to the Mishnah, how would you read the Mishnah? So I think the way to read the Mishnah, based on the simple explanation of the Gemara, is to say that the child should ask. If he doesn't have das, ask. So then the father should teach him the Manishtana. The father, we only say the Manishtana, and it's the father saying the Manishtana, if the child doesn't ask a different question. If the child asks the question about the tables, why are we moving the tables? So then we don't have to say the Manishtana.
I don't think it was the father saying the Manishtana. It's the father teaching the son to say it. Because if the son can't say it, so then the Mishnah should have said that the wife should say it. So I don't think it's the father saying the Manishtana.
I think it's the father teaching him to say the Manishtana. Okay, so maybe it's the father teaching him to say the Manishtana. Maybe that's what it is. But either way you go, whoever's saying it, whether it's the father or the son, or the father teaching the son, the Manishtana is not what is, it's just the default, right? Manishtana is the default. If you don't have any other questions, so then say the Manishtana. But it's not necessary. The Manishtana wouldn't be necessary. It's just what would happen if the son doesn't ask any other question. If the son were to ask a different question, so then you don't have to say the Manishtana. Right? So it wouldn't be necessary to say the Manishtana. So that is exactly how the Rashbam in the next source holds.
Can I ask one other question? The Gemara, source 3.
The Gemara what?
In source 3, yeah. So Abai is asking this question, why are you moving the tables?
Yeah.
Did Abai not know the answer? it's a Gemara.
Yeah.
I mean...
So they say it's when he was a child. When he was a child.
When he was a child.
Yeah, but he was raised by God, right?
He was raised by?
I think so, yeah. So it was when he was a child.
And then he became... Don't they be, like in the...
No, Rava, that's Rava. Abai and Rava, with an Aleph, not Rava. That's Rava.
They were raised together. Who was raised together? Rabba raised Abaya.
Rabba raised Abaya.
His father.
No. Yeah.
In Babylon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So this is how I think this is how the Rashbam goes with the simple explanation of the Gemara, and he says this is in source 4. Patarti milomer manishtana detanya lekaman chacham bino shoala. He says, we're going to have in a brisa later on, Chacham b'no, if your son is wise, sholo, he asks. V'im lav, shol hu la'atzmo manishtana. And if not, so then he asks himself the manishtana. V'kevan shesholu lanu, and since the child, Abaye, asked us manishtana, he asked us the manishtana, inanu tzrichim lomar manishtana. Because he asked Manishtana, we don't have to ourselves say the Manishtana. Elohashiv al dvarav, we just have to give an answer. Lufisha nishtabdu b'mitraim anu osam kol advarma halalu. The reason why we're doing all these different things is because we were slaves in Egypt. So the Rashbam says, because the child asked Manishtana. Manishtana literally means, how is tonight different? When the Rashbam is saying this, he doesn't mean the four questions that we have. It's just, once the child says, what's going on tonight? This is different. Something strange here. So then we don't have to say the Manishtana. There's no reason to say the Manishtana. And that's exactly how he reads the Braisa. The Braisa that we quoted in the beginning. He says, Chacham b'no sha'alo. This is in source 2. The wise son, he should ask. What does he ask? Anything. And then v'im lav, if not, if the son can't ask, and the wife can't ask, because let's say the wife is not around, so then who shall ask Asmo? He asks himself. So what does he ask himself? So then he'll ask himself the four questions. The four questions is just a backup. If the son doesn't ask, so then as a backup, we'll ask the four questions.
So if the son is smart, and he's astute, and he asks a question on his own, so one question suffices. But if the son is not smart enough to ask even one question on his own, so then we make him ask four questions.
I hear that though. I think that makes sense. If to get a kid into it, if they're able to get into it on their own, I mean, you teach kids, so you tell me. But if the kid is interested on his own, so then, and he's asking the questions, so then you don't have to push him to become interested. He's already asking the questions on his own. So you don't have to come up with ways to get him to think about the issues that are going on over the course of the night. But if he's not interested, he's not picking up on what's on the differences. So then you try different tactics to get them to be, so you have the four questions. So that we have try to show him four different ways how tonight is different. I could hear that. Does that make sense as a mechanech?
Buy that.
You buy that. So that's the opinion of the Rashbam. According to the Rashbam, the Manashtana is really just
promise.
Yeah, and we don't need it. It's not necessary if the child himself is asking his own questions. He could really ask his own questions. Why, just parenthetically, I could have mentioned this at any point. Why do we have it in such a way where the child is asking the questions and it's like a question answer? Why does it have to be that? Why can't we just have it that we give statements? Why does it have to be?
Children learn better that way. That's their question.
Yeah. Why do children learn better that way?
The child that asks the question in class is always the one who knows the answer the best. Because he's interested.
Because he's interested. It becomes, when you ask questions, so then it becomes yours. It becomes a part of you.
That would be a part of you when you're taught in school. So, okay.
No, so that's part of my point. When you're taught in school about asking the Manishtana and you're taught the whole Seder beforehand, you lose a major part of this.
There's a Rebbe in Tiferes Moshe in Queens. He's been a Rebbe for many, many years. And he does Haggadah. He's the first grade Rebbe. And he says that the night of Pesach is not about you knowing what to do, but it's about asking questions. So he goes through, he gives them a sheet on Kaddish. And says, this is what happens by Kaddish. Ask questions. And they write down.
And he says, they don't go over it in class?
No.
So you ask it
and
at...
And they go through Orchatz and Karpas and Yafis, and they write down all their questions. Why do we break the matzah? Why the middle matzah? Why this? And their job is to go home and ask their fathers.
Okay.
The fathers have to go home and answer.
That's great.
That's how we do.
But yeah. But you lose the whole point if you just... You feed them... You teach them how to ask the Manishtana, right? All the first graders, they get up and they say the Manishtana in front of everybody. So that's not really the point. That's not the point. The point is to get them to ask questions.
Right.
That's really the point. To get them to be interested. And once they're interested, so then they're able to really pay attention and to understand what's going on.
So there's two questions with the Seder. But why two things? If that was the purpose, if the purpose is to get interest and to really have them, why are the questions all asked at once and not tied to the specific? Like, why isn't it like Rabbi Lichtman was describing, that it's like when the matzah comes out, why are we eating matzah tonight? Rather, it seems like in our Seder, we have one spot where it's like all the questions.
Well, I think it's because Maggid is about giving the answer. It's about explaining the story. So we have to have the questions before the story.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that those particular questions were asked, because those questions prompt the telling of the story, which we're also obligated to do.
That's what it is. That is what it is. But that is true. That's why we have the questions there at that point.
What should come out, though, is like in some families they have the youngest kid gets up and says the Manishtana, because who has time for everyone to say it?
Yeah.
If really the point is to involve the kids, you want every kid involved. So every kid should need to ask.
They should ask different questions.
They could ask different questions, but every kid should have to be part of the asking.
Yes, every kid should be part of the asking.
It's not like, okay, the youngest kid gets up and says, Manishtana, I'm not ready to move on. You're not ready to move on yet.
No, I hear that, yeah.
That's point number one. Point number two is, if it's true that the purpose is to make somebody kona their question, that it becomes theirs, so that they're interested in the answer, so why, when you're eating by yourself,
do you still have to ask a question?
You still have to ask questions.
You gotta get yourself interested. You gotta get yourself interested also, yeah. I don't know.
So you're gonna just say the Manishtana and then you're gonna be interested. Like, you've been carrying your Manishtana for the last 40 years.
Should be asking questions.
Like, you shouldn't be able to ask the same question you asked last year.
No, that's true. I think if, according to the Rashbam, the ideal is for the child to ask his own questions. So you should come up with, a father and a mother should come up with different things to do, to have them ask different questions every year. I think.
What are the better groups doing?
I don't know. I have to figure out. I have to come up with strange things to do.
You do something different, and then they have to ask you why you're doing that different to this year.
Yeah. Otherwise, they were at the Seder last year, so you have to find some way to hook them in.
Are you allowed to?
I'll say the Manasana also because they learn it in school, but I'll try to do other things to get them engaged.
That's what makes
what
them
I mean is
you,
look, I can, yeah.
What I mean is you're not going to pour the second cup of wine while standing on your head this year, and then you're going to do, why do we... Because then you got to still connect it. You can't just make up something different to do.
I mean, that... I don't know. That goes back to Roy Lichtman's question of when they removed the tables. Was that just purely to remove the tables for them to ask, or is there like a deeper meaning behind it? So I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe there is a deeper meaning behind it. But either way, even if there is, I don't mind doing both. I could cover the Seder plate, and I could also just do strange things at the Seder. I could do both just to get them to be interested.
The way in which when you're on your head, it was like how our world was turned upside down.
Yeah.
Let's
see. You could do that also, yeah. Just to conclude this point, and then we'll go on. I forgot who says this, but I'm sure a lot of people say this, that when kids come home from school, so what's the thing that parents ask the kids when they come home from school? What did you learn in school? So what you should really ask is not what did you learn in school, but what did you ask in school?
Who's that?
I forgot.
I think I heard a famous physicist
said that?
His mother used to ask that?
So I try that now.
Yeah,
they start asking questions. I don't know if those are questions that they ask in school, but they say, oh, I'll ask this question, I'll ask that question. If I ask them what did they learn in school, they tell me nothing. They just don't know. But they're in...
But then we later learn in the Haggadah that not all questions are welcome.
Same from the Russian?
Yeah.
Okay, it depends on the type of question.
It's not a question.
It might not be a question. It might be his own answer. Right. Sometimes questions are questions, and sometimes questions are answers.
Remember's line is, I don't remember who it was, but some apicurus came to one of the Gedolim to ask him a question, and he said, questions have answers, but answers don't have answers. If you're coming with a question, I can give you an answer, but if you're coming already with the answer, I can't answer your answer.
A lot of deep thoughts tonight.
A lot of education comes from the
Seder. The whole concept of the Seder is he got to the Bincha. The major focus of the Seder is about transmitting to the next generation. That's what a lot of the Seder is about. So that's where the sources of Chinuch come from. The question answer. That's why it's here. So.
And when it says they can't, how old are they supposed to, what's the youngest that is?
That you're supposed to teach? I don't know, it says...
No, but like here, could you have, I guess from the moment they can speak.
Until they're, if they're, I don't know if there's a specific age, if they're old enough to understand.
But the shame is the initial, you say,
at Petachal, yeah.
At Petachal. So that doesn't necessarily mean with a question, does it? It's too young to ask.
Yeah, so I guess if they can't ask, so then you just give them an answer. But there you can't, there's no other option. Anyways, so this is the Rashbam.
At that age, they're still interested in not asking their own questions.
It's true. Tosos has a different explanation, and Tosos is really the way we follow, because we have it in our Haggadah. Going back to the Gemara of this story with Abaye and Rava when Abaye was a child, and Rava responds back after he asked the random question about why did you remove the tables. Rava says you're exempt from saying Manishtana. So Tosu says as follows in source 5, and hey, Kolomar umitochach yavol lishal bishar dvarim. He will recognize, this is going back on the statement that he'll recognize and he'll ask, he'll come to ask other things. By just asking the question of why you're moving the tables, you are not exempt from manishtana. When the Gemara quotes Abaye's question, Abaye is not only asking why you're moving the tables, but why are you moving the tables is supposed to cause him to then ask more and more questions. So ultimately, he asked the four questions. So according to Tosos, the four questions is the ideal. Really, ultimately, we're doing all these different things so that he'll be in question mode. And once he's in question mode, he'll come up with the four questions. He'll ask the four questions. Which then fits with the way we have the Haggadah, which is that the children always ask the four questions. Ultimately, they should be asking the four questions. As opposed to the Rashbam, where they're supposed to ask whatever they want.
It's very not mashma
in the Gemara. No, it's very not mashma in the Gemara. It's very not mashma in the Gemara.
How does he read the Gemara? How does he even read the word?
He says, Abai asks his question, and they left out the other questions that he asked.
But how do you read the words?
I guess it's that
the only way you will Pater exempt from saying Manishtana is if his other questions that he asked were the Manishtana. So then you're not exempt from asking the Manishtana.
Maybe they're exempt from teaching him the Manishtana. Meaning he himself asked
Lomar.
Or saying it in a standardized way. I don't know. In the structured format of the Haggadah. You're right. It's difficult. It is difficult in the Gemara. It's difficult. What are you looking up? The Gemara? Yeah. So that's Tosfos. That's the opinion of Tosfos. I want to get now to the last opinion, and then we'll stop. This is a shorter one. The Rambam, and this is getting back to the idea that Jeff pointed out. The Rambam, I think, has a really interesting explanation of the Mishnah. And this is the last source. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Ches Beis, he says, Maskil Mavarech Bori Pri Adama, V'lokeach Yorah Kumitabalos Abacharosas, V'lokeach Gzayis, Hu, V'chomus Ibn Ima, Kolech V'echad Inol Chapachos B'Gzayis. This is about before Magid. Then what happens? Then they remove the tables. Why do we remove the tables? So that the children would ask. And we pour the second cup. Why do we pour the second cup? Also for the child to ask. We do a couple of things for the children to ask. V'kana ben shoah. And here the son asks. What does he ask? What does the son ask here? V'kana ben shoah. What is the son asking? The Rambam doesn't say. The Rambam doesn't say what he's asking. I would assume that he's asking, why are we removing the tables? Why are we pouring the second cup of wine? Why are we doing all these things? The Rambam doesn't say that you say the Manishtana. The next line discusses the Manishtana. And then the next line says, V'omer hakorei. After the son asks the questions, V'omer hakore manishtana halal zemikol alelos, and then he goes through the four questions. So the Rambam says that we always ask the four questions. Even if the child were to ask his question, yeah. we still have to say the manishtana.
Sounds like the leader.
And it's the leader says it, yeah. And also what's the verb that's used when the Rambam says it? When it's the leader saying it, what's the verb? The verb is v'omer, that you say. If it's a question, so then it should have been v'shoel. V'shoel ha'kore. The kore asks a question. He doesn't say that the kore, the leader of the seder, is asking questions. It's a statement. The kore is saying a statement. And so the child asks whatever question he's asking. And then the Kore responds back, Manishtana halalazem mikol alelos. So according to the Rambam, the child never asks the four questions. What are the four questions? It's an answer. It's a response. How is it a response? Because Manishtana doesn't have to mean, how is this night different from all the nights? But it's...
how different this night is.
What a difference this night is. Look at how different this night is. Look at all the differences that we're doing. It's a statement. It's not asking a question, but it's a statement. Look at how different tonight is.
It sounds like it turns around, but the bottom line is these are the four points that we need to focus on. We need to focus on chametz and matzah. We need to focus on maror. We need to focus on dipping. And we need to focus on
leaving.
Right? So those are the four points that we need to focus on. Before we get there, we do other strange things. We do karpas, and we move the table, and we do all these things.
Just to get them to be interested.
To get them to be interested in the whole concept. Once they're interested in the concept, then you say, Not great question. Not only is that different, but look at this. Then we do this, and we do this, and we do this, and
yeah.
we do this.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be it. So it's not. I'm not sure how different it is from a question as much of semantics, but it's a statement of look at how different tonight is. Look at how different all these nights are. So just going back to the Rambam, how does he read the Mishnah? If you go back to the Mishnah, how would the Rambam read the Mishnah? And I think it fits in beautifully. It's Mazgulo Kosheni. You pour the second cup. Vikana ben Shoalaviv. The son asks the questions. V'im ein da'as beben aviv melamdo. And if the child doesn't have da'as, so then the father teaches him. Meaning, the way the Rambam would read this is that you skip the question. What does he teach him? Manashtana. The manashtana is not a question, but it's part of the teaching process. It's part of the statements of an answer. It's
but
not just.
But then it sounds like this melamdo manashtana is going only on the im in das beben.
No, the way you can read it is that if the child doesn't have das, doesn't have knowledge, then the father goes straight to the statement. Meaning we skip the question. We don't have to ask the question. The child doesn't have to ask the question.
Melamdo manashtana, when you teach him how this night is so different.
Yeah. Melamdo manashtana lezem yikol alelos. Teach him how this night is different, and then we go through the four questions.
Then the mission misses the point, because the point is not to teach him how this night is so different. The point is to show him how this night is so different so that I can explain to him why this night is so different.
Well, the rest of the mission continues, and it says also you also have to teach him about all the things that we do at the Haggadah. Arami Oviravi, we start with Gnus and Masayim Bishmaf. The mission goes on, but all this is part of what we teach him. It's all together.
You need an opening so that you can start the story.
Yeah, that's what the Rambam was saying. Yeah.
That's what you're trying to do. So whether you ask him a question whether he asks a question so you can give the answer, or you just volunteer, to start the story, it doesn't seem to make a difference. It depends on the aptitude of the kid, which direction you'll take.
Yeah, so to conclude, I think we had three different explanations as to how to read the Mishnah, and also how Manishtana, the four questions fit in. For the Rashbam, the four questions are only asked if the child himself doesn't ask his own questions. If the child asks his own questions, you don't have to say the Manishtana. Mm-hmm. For Tosfos, Tosfos is of the opinion that we always say the Manishtana. We try to get him to ask other questions so that he's in question mode, and then he'll come to ask the four questions. Or Lechman had a good question on that. It doesn't really fit with the Gemara so well. And then the Rambam is the third opinion. The Rambam says that we try to have the child ask whatever questions he could ask. We try to cause him to get him to ask questions. And then we respond back with the Manashtana. The Manashtana is not a question. It's really statements about how this night is different. Look at how different this night is. And it's not really a question, but it's more of a statement. And it's not the child that asks it, but really it's the father that tells it back to the child. So the child has to ask his own questions, but the father's going to tell him the Manashtana. So this is two out of the three are really quite different from the practice that we have.
Again, in the Rambam, if the son's asking questions, do we have to say the Manashtana?
Yes. Because within the Rambam, he says, V'kana ben Shoal, the child asks his questions. V'omer akore, after he asks his questions, so then the leader says the following. He says, Manashtana, le'ezem yikol alelos. So even if the child asks his questions, the leader still has to say the Manashtana.
Notice he said to say it, not to sing it.
Not to sing it? Well, it's only because, according to him, the leader is the one that's saying it. So if it was the child saying it, so then he would say to sing it. But the idea behind all of this is really to keep in mind that the Manashtana is not just there to be just a part of the text of the Manashtana, that we just go through it and this is what we read. But the Manashtana is really, according to all opinions, is really there. Maybe for the Rambam it might be a little different, but it's there really to get the kids to become interested. It's not just to have them sing the Manashtana, but really the focus is to get...
And not just kids.
And not just kids, yeah, for sure. And as the Brisa says, it's not just kids. But, just
who
any...
Who are we posking that?
I mean, our practice is like Tosfos, that we just say the Manashtana, so...
And there's no There's no Indian to get kids to.
No, we still have other things to get them to ask. We want them to ask other things as well. We do that. We cover the plates and we pour the cup. We do all that also. We pour the cup beforehand. We try to get them to ask.
Is the manishtana at the level of minhag or at the level?
Manishtana?
Like that. Like it's
it would be it would be a rabbinic. I think it's a rabbinic decree to have the seder done through question. It's through questions, through question answer. That would be my guess is that it's a kind of derabbanan, it's a rabbinic decree. And so this is for everybody. This is not just for children. It's for everybody. That everyone should try to get everyone involved in the Seder through question answer. Just try to get them to be involved.
But it does feel like to have a pre-prescribed, if we possibly that this manishtana fulfills it, with this pre-prescribed question that everybody knows the answers to because they've done it 7 years in a row, seems to defeat the purpose.
The answers are going to stay the same. The way you do the questions could be different. The way you do the question is going to be different. But, I mean, the answers are also different. There's always further depth and analysis that you could do within the answers. So the answers are also going to be different. So.
It sounds like the thrust is to generate, somehow to generate curiosity.
Curiosity, yeah, that's really the point. That's really the point of the manishtana.
Well, and it sounds like that, you know, I suppose the model is with children.
But it has, yeah, that is the model.
If your seder is all adults, for example,
it's the same thing. It's the same thing, and that's the second source here. It says that if there are no children around,
right.
So then even two talmid chachamim, right, two right. Sages, they still have to engage in the same process. Yeah.